And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. A lot of things to get into the next 4 hours. We're excited about that. A lot of ground to cover. Predators out in Vegas tonight to take on the Golden Knights. It's been a while since we've talked about a 9 o'clock puck drop. Like, I don't know, years? Since we've talked about a 9 o'clock puck drop, but that's the case tonight. I'll have pregame for you at 8 o'clock. Willie is out in Vegas. I haven't been to their new arena. I hear it's really, really nice. Although this is year what for Vegas now? Year four? Year four. It's hard to believe they've had this much success in just 3+ years.
It's actually year 5, right?
I was about to say, I think this is 5.
Is it year 5?
Year 5. This is year 5. Yeah.
Because they're the Preds.
17-18 was their first year. And they won the West, lost in the finals, and they've gone from there. So this is the fifth year.
And by the way, this just in, they look like they've looked the previous 4 years really good.
Again. They've made significant changes every year. They still have some of those guys that were on that first team that was so amazing. Everything went right. But they've made some bold moves, as we've talked about before. They haven't seen all the fruits of them yet because, of course, the latest one was Jack Eichel bombshell. But he's a ways away still. They have to figure out how not only to get him healthy but get him under the salary cap if he's going to play. Or they have to do the Kucherov move and just wait until the playoffs to put him in there. Otherwise, they're $10 million over the salary cap as it stands right now if they were to try to put him in there. But he's on long-term IR, so he doesn't count against the cap right now. They've got some other guys hurt like Max Pacioretty, but they're so deep. They have plenty of weapons out there. So they've had a lot of issues, a lot of changeover, the big trade, and yet they're still number one in the Pacific. They're a contender.
No, they're number one in the Western Conference. So, I mean, I would say they're probably well on their way to doing the Kucherov path, right? It's like, oh, well, we're the number one seed in the conference without him. So
yeah, they're certainly going to make it whether they have him or not.
That's right.
They could do that. It depends on how quick he's ready and how much they want to get him in before the playoffs start.
The more these games continue to get postponed, I mean, I know I keep bringing this up, but it just feels like it's going to be an impossible task to get 82 games in, doesn't it? I mean,
I think they're very confident. They made these moves knowing that they had the Olympic window. The only ones getting postponed now are the Canadian games.
Teams.
They have fans.
Yeah, but it affects another team. And so, I mean, you're just constantly – I mean, you know, the Hurricanes and the Wild are affected. I mean, that's a game they've got to make up.
But you can't have but you've got the three-week window, so they have that cushion.
Right, but there's already, about 70, 80 games they've got to make up already to this point?
Yeah. You got 3 weeks that you didn't have before that you can put it in there.
Do you think, though, they're going to give them some time off or no?
I think that's the question. Is how much time
they have to, don't they?
Well,
they had to give them some type of break, right? Like even if it's for 4 or 5 days, they've got to give them something.
Yeah, well, you know, you could argue that they already had an extended break
right at
Christmas time.
That's right.
So that should be a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and remember, the players, they have a vested interest in this. If the games don't get played,
they don't get paid.
Money out of their pocket. Yes. Yep. So they want the games to be in there, and they were on board with the Canadian games getting moved because they want the fans in the stands. That's the revenue. Mm-hmm. If you play but there's no fans in the stands, that's money out of your pocket too.
Yep. I'm just wondering, though, like how long can you keep canceling games involving Canadian teams and it doesn't affect you long-term?
And they're buying time, but there's no guarantee how quick Canada will allow the fans back in there. It just depends on how quick this wave of cases goes through. Bill Daly went on the record a couple days ago with Pierre LeBrun, and he said they've still got some cushion to get all the games made up. So he said he's very confident that they'll get the 82 games in one way or the other.
Interesting. Well, we saw the end of an era last night in Big Ben. 18 seasons in Pittsburgh as the Steelers quarterback, and he's probably played his last game at Heinz Field. And it was wasn't memorable. I mean, they won, and they were in control the entire game because the Browns are just bad. They're bad. Baker Mayfield was sacked 9 times last night. Big Ben, it's time. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame, but it's time. I mean, he can barely throw a ball anymore. He can barely move. But cool. Nonetheless, though, it was cool. You know, it was – and by the way, I want to talk about that, too. I watched the Manning cast, and you know I'm a huge fan. I honestly, even with that guest list, I thought it was their worst one so far.
Yeah.
It was really sloppy. Sloppy and
– there was a delay.
Constantly talking over each other. Was that what was messing them up?
Well, because here's the problem with it. Like, they do all this through Zoom or mm-hmm. something similar – and Peyton and Eli are, you know, it's similar to kind of what we're doing here. I mean, Willie's joining us that way, but mm-hmm. the delay's not that bad. But Eli and Peyton, you know, have cameras and everything set up in their houses, and they have production people, and so it's all television.
But why has it done it all year then?
Why it has? I mean, it has. Like they're
not
been,
like last night.
Yeah, but there have been times where it's been pretty bad. That there's been a delay where they've been talking over each other. And Peyton and Eli always talk over each other because that's just them.
True, but I thought last night it was – at times it was a hard watch because it was so – I mean, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, that was brutal. And they had a microphone issue that they fixed it after one of the breaks, commercial breaks. But, gosh, it was a hard watch. And, you know, Snoop was fine and Aaron Rodgers was fine. Still just a lot of talking over each other. I don't know. I'm a huge fan of it. I think it's really, really good and really insightful. I did not think that was their best one. I would rank that either at the bottom or near the bottom for this entire season.
I just don't think they need all the guests. I mean, the names are cool. Like, only those two could pull Goodell and Snoop Dogg and Bill Cowher and Aaron Rodgers in one show. Mm-hmm. And that's – they're awesome names, but I'd rather – I'm watching the Manning cast to watch Peyton and Eli talk football, mm-hmm. like and them to break down plays. And, you know, because Peyton said that several times about Ben, you know, he got up on the board and was diagramming. He goes, he just doesn't have the same speed to you know, drop back and throw off that back foot anymore. You can just tell that the strength – it's just not there. The body is just – not allowing him to do the things that he used to do. And, like, that's the stuff that I want to hear about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, they're not going to ask Rodgers the hard-hitting question of, mm-mm. you know, what are you going to do and all that stuff. I mean, they'll joke with him, but they're not going to
make news.
Yeah, right. They're not going to make news. And so – and Aaron looks like he, you know, every time he does an interview now, it looks like he's, you know, smoked a joint before he came on. He's just like, hey, what's up, guys?
And?
Yeah, well – yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
That may be a reason.
I mean, whatever. To each their own. But.
No, I'm just saying there may be a reason why you feel that way.
Yeah, well, could be accurate. I don't know. But anyway.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just saying.
But he just, you know, I would rather, like, if you're going to do guests, do, like, two for the whole show. Because they try and pack it all in together. And it just – I would rather have more time of them breaking down the game and talking about the game and all of that and, you know, messing with each other more than I would them talking to a guest. Snoop was fine, but, you know, like it was funny for him, like, being a fan. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Benji, what are you doing, man? Come on now. Like, that was funny. But, you know, them talking about, like, what would our band be? Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care about that stuff.
That's why I said it was probably my least favorite all year. And I'm a huge fan of it. I just thought last night I was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it got too cute. I don't know. Just an off night. I don't know. I just overall I was like, huh. I came away saying, you know, I would say that was probably one of my least favorites. And I would have never said that knowing the guest list going into it. I would have never thought that, but. When it played out, I was like, maybe I should have probably switched over to the broadcast. I don't feel like I missed anything here. And you're right. I thought they were kind of getting away from the four guest, the one quarter. I thought they had gone away from that, but it seems like they came back to it. So I don't know. But we'll see. They did say they're going to be doing playoffs. They're going to do playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to do. They're going to do
the wild card weekend.
They're doing that Monday night game.
Is that the game they're doing?
Yeah, because ESPN has that.
Yeah.
So they're gonna do that, and that I think that'll be cool, you know. But we've talked about it. I know Willie is not as big of a fan of it as we are. I would like to see them make some tweaks, and honestly, it would probably be better if they could figure out how to get Peyton and Eli in the same place. I think you would see more of a flow if they could do that for next year.
I don't know. I don't know if it changes anything because Peyton's the big brother and Eli's little brother, and I don't know. I don't know if that dynamic changes whether they're in the same room or not. I kind of feel like the way they interact is the way they interact. Don't you think? I mean, I don't know. You may be right. Maybe it changes a little bit.
I think it changes a lot.
Really?
I think you guys know from experience when you're not in the same place in the sink. Look, maybe I know more than you guys because every city that I go to, you know, if there's a little delay, and of course I've used a lot of different mechanisms to be on the show from the road with you guys, and you guys know, like when there's a half a second delay, that makes a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Just in who's talking, and that lends itself to people talking over each other. I think it would make a big difference if they're in the same locale.
I'm surprised, though, if it was so noticeable. This is the first time I've brought it up. I mean, to my knowledge, I don't remember either one of you bringing up the delay or talking over each other.
I haven't really brought it up.
It's the first time I've brought it up.
Yeah, I haven't really brought it up, but it's been noticeable.
I didn't know this was an issue until nobody's said it before.
Well, it just depends on the, you know, like I thought Joe Buck, that you got some of that.
Yeah.
With him, was, Al Michaels. I mean, it's just because they're getting the guests on via, you know, a Zoom or you know, something similar to that, and it's just not going to be as stable as the connection that Peyton and Eli are using to talk to each other.
So Roethlisberger gets it. The Steelers get it done. Roethlisberger plays his last game at Heinz Field, probably. The Browns, man, wow. Just bad. T.J. Watt, how many sacks? I lost count. How many sacks did he have? I think at least three. I mean, he's over 20 now, right?
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
I mean, once again, as I said before last week, and the guy, like, it's a shame. Like, he's not even being considered.
He had four.
Four sacks. What's he have now in the season? 21 and a half?
21 and a half, yep.
21 and a half sacks. Nobody's even talking about him for MVP, and he deserves to be. Absolutely. In front and center in an MVP discussion, and he won't win.
He missed two games too.
Yeah, and he missed two games. It's just a shame. I wish the NFL would do something about it, but who knows if they will or they won't. We'll come back. Connor Orr is with Sports Illustrated and MMQB. Remember, we talked to him after the was it during the Derrick Henry injury?
No, it was before.
We talked to Connor Orr. He did the great feature about the off-season conditioning
program of
Derrick Henry. He had some real, real in-depth stuff there. So his perspective, I listen to his podcast. They have a really good MMQB QB podcast. He'll be an interesting guy to talk to about Derrick Henry and this situation they're in here.
Okay, well, we'll do that next here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Eli. You're 6 days away from calling the national championship game again. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. He's Connor Orr. So Sports Illustrated, MMQB. We had him on earlier in the year to talk about Derrick Henry, his workout regimen. And he's been working out for the last 9 weeks in just a different way than the last time we spoke with Connor. So we bring him back on to talk a little bit about this injury and Titans and everybody here in this market in Nashville feeling pretty good about Derrick Henry returning. When? Hopefully we'll find out here soon, but he now joins us. Connor, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
well, we're feeling a lot better considering when Derrick Henry went down and we trotted on our, you know, our orthopedic surgeon and people in the business who understand those type of injuries. Will Carroll came on and, you know, it didn't feel great. You know, I was like, oh, boy. You know, I guess he could come back. Maybe he'll come back. But, boy, that didn't sound encouraging. But certainly the tone and everything feels different sitting here today in early January because it certainly definitely feels like he's coming back. It's just whether he'll be out there on Sunday, which I don't believe, or it'll be in hopefully the second round of the playoffs because the Titans will be the one seed and get the bye. What do you think? How do you look at this Derrick Henry, the Jones fracture, and what he's had to endure and what it means for him moving forward?
Well, I think you got to be smart with it still. I mean, this is still a long-term player for your franchise. It's a running back that's not really going to succumb to the typical, you know, 3 or 4 years of good production and out. I mean, you're going to be able to have Derrick Henry as a useful piece, almost like a Jerome Bettis, I think, for the better part of a decade. So I think you want to treat it that way. I don't think you want to rush him back. And like you said, I mean, you do your best to keep him out for the remainder of the regular season. You pray for that first round bye, and then you try to get him in as healed as possible. I think that's the best scenario for everybody in this case. But, you know, it's just a credit to the Titans. I mean, look at how well-built they are. The Carolina Panthers lost the running back that their team was built around, and their season fell apart. And this team is still winning games with regularity. I think you have to have faith in them that they can get that done without Derrick Henry, too.
With that being said, do you think Mike Vrabel should be coach of the year?
I think he should be up there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of really good candidates this year, but for some reason he sort of exists in that sort of medium, you know, netherworld for some reason. And I don't know why, because, you know, you lose your star player and, you know, this is a team built around your core players are third round picks, second round picks, you know, a guy in Ryan Tannehill that other teams didn't want and they just wanted to get rid of. And so I think it's fascinating. And to consider the totality of what he's done, I absolutely think he should be high up there on the list.
We had an interesting debate yesterday and involved the listeners as well because it seems like there's a school of thought of, oh, well, he's been out for so long. You got to knock off the rust, get him some snaps in the game against Houston. Yes, you can beat the Texans without him. As you said, they've already had success without him this season. They still were able to win the division and possibly be the one seed in the AFC. But knock off the rust, you know, get him out there, get him used to getting hit again, just whatever. There's whatever the number of snaps, 8 to 10, what have you. Or there's people like me who say, no way, just give him more time. More time is better. That can't be a bad thing. I'm not taking any chances. And, yes, you don't need him to beat the Texans. Take care of business and give him several more weeks off. Which camp would you fall under? And I guess you've already kind of answered that, but do you buy the whole – knock off the rust and get him some snaps to get him back in the flow?
I think everybody is entirely individual, and I think that's what, you know, all the research that I've done on modern training and the processes that these teams are going through, players understand their bodies at an individual level better than they have at any point in our, you know, species history. And so if Derrick Henry says, if he goes to the team and says, hey, I need 5 carries, I need to get banged around a little bit to knock off the rust, then you put him in. But if he says, no way, I want to keep this thing wrapped in plexiglass for another 2 weeks, then allow him to keep the thing in bubble wrap and don't touch him. You know, I think that that's really what it comes down to. I mean, the piece that I did on him, you know, for the magazine earlier this year, I mean, his training regimen is so locked down. It is so scientific that, you know, whatever his body is telling him, he's so in tune to that now. And so I would, you know, if you're the Texans, you defer to the player at this point. And I would, you know, if I were Derrick Henry, would I be in that game against the Texans? No way.
I know the answer, but I thought we'd have some fun with it. So you had the Titans coming out of the AFC, right, going to the Super Bowl, like everybody else?
Listen, nobody can ask me about this now because I had the Browns coming out of the AFC to win the Super Bowl, and then I think Steve Levy was making fun of anybody who did that last night on Monday Night Football. So my pride's a little hurt right now.
You fell in the trap, Connor. I mean, they're history. In fact, when we made our predictions before the season, I didn't even have them in the playoffs. I'm like, you're asking me to put the Browns in back-to-back years. Like, what history shows us that is humanly possible in their franchise history? So I didn't pick them to go to the playoffs. You fell for the trap.
I fell for the trap. You know, I'm not anymore, obviously, since I started covering the NFL, but I grew up a Browns fan, so I think it's easy to fall into the easy to fall into the mystique. You start believing a little bit, and then all of a sudden, look, you make a really embarrassing pick in a nationally publicized magazine. So,
I'm sure nobody has brought that to your attention, right?
Certainly not all the Bengals fans in my mentions. So, yeah.
Willie?
Do we have Willie?
I don't know. He may be
gone.
I'm sorry. I muted myself. Yo, that was a rookie mistake. Terrible move.
Yeah.
But Connor,
what'd you do last night in Vegas?
That's a good question. Yeah, I sat in a hotel. I watched the Browns. That's probably I'm a little slow moving because of that, probably. But Connor, I was going to ask you. I listened to your podcast. I know that your colleagues gave you a hard time. They actually captured you on tape talking about how the Browns are going to win it. But just now that we've played the whole season, just dawned on me last night. I have a lot of Browns fans in my family. I got a lot of friends who are Browns fans. They always make themselves, they're so excited. But that had to be one of the most frustrating seasons for any fan base to watch, just with all of the hardship that they went through based on the expectations.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you can't abandon ship, though, too. I mean, I wrote this a few weeks ago that everybody's saying, well, it's proof that Baker Mayfield isn't the guy. And I think that's sort of jumping to conclusions. If you take his numbers before he got hurt in week two, his first 46 career games, I think it was, he's better than Russell Wilson over the first 46 games of his career. I mean, this guy is still really good. He's really accurate, but I think that shoulder injury was really detrimental. You could see he couldn't get a solid foundation. He couldn't get a base when he was throwing. And so I think that's a big problem. And they give him the offseason to get healthy now. I do think that they're going to be in the quarterback market, in the veteran quarterback market. I think they'll be active there, but who knows? I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
One of the things that I think has fooled everybody, and Connor, I think your group is probably no exception, we're probably no exception, is the way the Titans have transformed themselves into a team that can beat you with a great defensive effort. That absolutely was not in the cards last year. But the way that they've won some games, especially since Henry and A.J. Brown have been hurt, is ball control and just let the defense get stops. So I think they've added layers on how they could possibly win in the playoffs.
Oh, totally. And, you know, I think this team goes beyond. They were winning games a lot with these statement defensive plays, like big pick sixes, stuff that you're not going to get every week. And some people are saying, oh, well, their luck's going to run out at some point. This is all going to even out. But I think schematically, it's sound. You know, I mean, you have the best players in the right places to defend modern football as good as any team. And I think they match up particularly well against a lot of the opponents they're going to face in the playoffs in the AFC. So I think that while defense is never really a totally sustainable game plan, I think this is a team that's going to play well enough in the postseason to make some noise. I mean, I would not be shocked to see them make it back to the conference championship game.
They've run the ball pretty reasonably well, even without Derrick Henry, which has surprised us some. I was going to ask you one more about the high-tech stuff that you've gotten into a lot with Derrick Henry's training. And it involves, I guess, you know, some people. You know, he's got his main guy that you talk about a lot that's sort of outside the Titans family that they work with. But a broken bone is so unique, right, especially a broken bone in the foot. I'm curious with his people, with all of the stuff that he does, that break the, you know, trying to be innovative, what's the next thing? I wonder how it's played into the healing process with this.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that there are just so many tools at your disposal now that I think that they're just throwing everything at it, and not in an unscientific way, but I mean, you know, I've talked to trainers around the league, and you know, there's you know, treatments, everything from, you know, sort of this holistic, you know, mind-body stress management that they think has an impact on how quickly you heal, to the food that you eat, to red light therapy and cryotherapy. And, you know, I just think that there's so many options out there for Derrick Henry right now that, you know, not that you should heal faster, but you look at a broken bone like anything else. I mean, an ACL was a death sentence, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, and now it's just a routine thing in 6 months. We'll see you later. And while broken bone is not really like that, it's similar in the case that we can expedite a recovery timetable better than we have before.
We're talking to Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated and the MMQB, and last night we saw Ben Roethlisberger play likely his final game in Pittsburgh, as it would appear he's going to ride off into the sunset. And on him specifically, when you're talking about this era of the league, He's got the championship, but where do you put Ben Roethlisberger when you're talking about some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time?
That's a good question. I think you probably have to put him in that top 15 conversation. You know, I think he's probably right around there. You have to consider, you know, that first Super Bowl, the team around him was so good, and they ran the ball so well. I think he eventually elevated, you know, especially with Bruce Arians, into a quarterback that could take over games, and he was just so unique with his body composition, his style, and his arm strength. And so I think he was really just a unique player in the league. I think proof that you could go in with any sort of body type and you could build an offense around a guy. And so, I think I would put him top 15-ish of all time. It's just going to be interesting to see what Pittsburgh does now. I think you held on to him probably a little bit longer than you would have liked, and now you got to get into that veteran quarterback carousel.
Yeah, and that was my next question of where they go from here. I mean, Mike Tomlin's been there a long time. We know that they're going to be in a retooling, rebuild, however you want to put it. But what's kind of the next step for them in finding their quarterback? Because I don't think the future is on the roster.
No, I don't think so either. But here's what Pittsburgh has going for them, and I'll say this about Denver too, and to some degree the New York Giants, or maybe the New York Giants 4 or 5 years ago, is it's a place that you want to go if you're a quarterback. You know that you're going to be protected. You know the organization is going to take care of you. You know they're going to treat you really well. And so I think if a Russell Wilson comes on the market, if some of these guys become available, I think that's the first place that they're going to look, because just the track record of, you know, the way that they've kept players, the way that they draft players, the way that they treat players, I think that, you know, Pittsburgh's in a pretty good spot there.
Yeah, and last night on the Manning cast, Peyton and Eli kind of had some fun with Aaron Rodgers of a clip that had happened earlier this year of a smile and a wink at Mike Tomlin, and I think they were just having fun with him. But, I mean, if that were to happen, if Rodgers does actually become available, I mean, is that the perfect fit for him to go play for Tomlin in Pittsburgh?
That's an interesting question. You know, I don't know. I always kind of saw Aaron Rodgers as a guy who would, you know, I think that he might have a particular coach that he likes, that he wants to either follow or unite with, you know, and I always kind of envision that as, you know, almost like a Sean McVay, Matt Stafford thing, where it was done before we even started talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, had their mind made up that they were going to work together at some point. And I always sort of envisioned Aaron Rodgers as sort of the same, where, you know, he's talked to a coach, or there's been a coach out there who's been like, hey, you know, I can make this better for you, I can make this easier for you, and that they'll connect. I don't necessarily see Pittsburgh as having that offensive guy. I mean, Matt Canada's a really good coach. I just don't know if that's the guy that, you know, would kind of unlock the remaining years of Aaron Rodgers, so to say.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting last night. He did bring up that when LaFleur got the job, that, you know, LaFleur was explaining the offensive system and that there wasn't really any audibles, and Aaron basically looked at him and said, well, there is now. I mean, this is, you know, something that I've been doing, and they've been able to figure it out. But I think that that's maybe been a surprise to people, that relationship has worked as well as it has.
Well, I think, and the reason that it has is, you know, you go back to our prospective head coaching list this year, and we have their offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, is number one. And I think that the reason that he's number one on that list is because he was the translator, right? Nathaniel Hackett was steeped in the West Coast, which is how Aaron Rodgers was brought up. And he was the guy that kind of helped find those compromises, right? Where this is the language that we can speak. Here's the medium that we can come to. And I think he was instrumental in that process. And I think that that was a really big turning point for them to be able to, hit the ground running and play as well as they had.
All right. So I understand you have a musician friend that lives here in Nashville that you wanted to tell people about.
Yeah. So February 5th, he's playing, this guy's name is Ryan Harris Brown, and he's playing a full band show at the Sutler. I don't know if you guys know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
You should look it up. Yeah, yeah. So full band show, and I'm just going to tell you this because, this is like a chance to see like James Taylor when he's like 23 before he got famous. I'm just saying this. Like, and if you go, send me a picture, tweet me a picture from the show, I'll get you a year of digital subscription to the magazine. Tweet me a picture that you're there, and I'll take care of it, because I'm telling you, this guy is the next big thing that's going to hit music. Stop listening to this Walker Hayes, Applebee's garbage. This is real music. This is good stuff. And he's going to blow your mind. So I would say just go down there, enjoy yourself, tweet me a photo, and I'll hook you up at Sports Illustrated.
What's his name again?
You had me at James. You had me at James Taylor.
What's his name again?
There you go,
Connor.
Ryan Harris Brown.
Ryan Harris Brown. Okay, we're going to remember. Yeah. Connor Orr is the one who told us this.
That's right. You heard it here first.
I love it. Awesome.
I felt the same way about Creed back in the day, and look how that turned out.
Hey, some people would take Creed's career. That's
no,
not bad,
I know.
Right?
It turned out good, but I mean, like, they're the most hated band ever. So I remember back in the early days, I was like, this band, you can listen to this Creed. This is good. And it's like, you know, now you don't, nobody says that. Nobody admits that. So anyway, hey, really appreciate it. And I hope some people do check him out. And that was pretty good insight. Thanks for doing this, as always. Happy New Year. And we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Connor Orr from SI and the MMQB. We'll come back more on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Yeah, let's interact. Let's do that right now. Caller 6, 615. You know the number. It's our text line. It's our phone line.
Do you know the number?
I do. 727-1025.
What was that?
737.
Right, say that again.
1025. You know the number by now. Come on, everybody. You know. Who's going to the gymnasium? Who's going to the quads? Who's with me? We're going streaking. Jen Blossoms. Brooklyn Bowl,
hey,
March 10th. Yeah, there we go. Hey, Chase, you're a jerk.
I'm sorry. I just, like, you've been here 10 years. And
you were the original.
You were the OG. You turned this place on.
I didn't come up with a phone number. I didn't come up with a number.
You've only said it 10,000 times.
I know.
Like we said, 737-105.23 denominator. I don't know.
End it with star.
Star. Star 9.
Star 102.
Remember the star? That was what. Remember you, for, if you had a, if you have a car phone, star whatever. It was toll free at star blank. That used for a while. That's how you did it in the 90s. If you had the, it was pre-cell phone, really, if you had the car phone and you didn't want to get the charges.
That's right. That's exactly right. And remember, what was it, star 69, right? Star 60. Well, callback was star 69, right?
Yeah.
What was caller block?
REM has a song about it.
What was to block your number? Did you it start, was it star 67, then dial the number?
It was one of.
That would block your number? With, for
it was
caller
one of
ID.
Those, yeah. I think it was star 69.
No, star 69, I think.
Star 69 is you could get the call back to the number.
Whenever somebody
you figure out who called. Yeah.
Star 69.
If somebody tried to.
Yep. They block their number. You do star 69 and call them back. I think star 67, I think, was to block your number. Because everybody, you know, caller ID was a big deal back then. Big deal. Did anybody else have, and I meant that, by the way, with Connor Orr, and I know it's silly today, because one, we didn't have social media. Back then, I didn't even have a phone. We had none of that stuff. In fact, I think that was like car phones. But I thought, you know, in my circles, you know, I don't know, I was like, man, I'm telling you, this band, they're going to be big. Like this, I'm telling you, this whoever this Creed is, they're pretty good, man. You should listen to them. They're going to be big. And like that was, you know, and like I said, I know it's not cool to say that now, or nor has it been for a long, long time, but I was back then. I felt like I was on the ground floor, like telling everybody, like, this, listen to them. I don't know who they are, but they're good. They're going to be big. It's going to be a big band. Anybody else have that? I mean, obviously Connor Orr just rubber stamped somebody here in Nashville or is coming to Nashville. So anybody else have an experience like that?
I saw the Cranberries before they really got big. I saw them and I saw Counting Crows. I saw them at 328 Performance Hall, both of those bands.
Well, there's a band that's pretty big now. I saw Moon Taxi, you know, early on. before that's they really band. Hit it yeah. big.
Okay. And you Jason you felt that way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
you
I,
left
I,
going. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I was like, they're... yeah, they got something. They're gonna they'll hit it. So I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people around here that have said that about you know a ton of
oh tons artists. Of artists.
Yeah, I'm yeah. sure those stories here are pretty common.
I mean, here's the crazy part about this town. You've probably seen somebody famous, and you have no idea that you saw them before they were famous.
Yes. Like
I did. You've heard me tell that story, both of you. You've heard that story from Wild Horse.
Oh yeah.
Who was it?
I'm remembering the story now. I got to remember the artist.
She came up to the table.
Taylor
said,
Swift.
I'm here for my interview, and I was like, huh?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I'm like,
who are you?
She's like, yeah, this is a sports station? She's like, oh. I was like, I think maybe you're supposed to be on our sister station, their country. And then I went to the bathroom at the Wild Horse, and they had a big, huge poster. And I was like, who's Taylor Swift?
Yeah, now you know.
Hey, hey, hey!
I had another good one.
You laugh, though, Chase, but, I mean, she was literally, that was... At the beginning.
Well, yeah. She was living like 16.
She was living in Hendersonville.
Yeah.
Was it Hendersonville, right? Yeah.
I met her at the 4th of July thing. Remember we used to do the 4th of July thing, Darren, every year for our station?
Oh, yeah.
Where we would, you know.
MC?
Just
get up or get up on
stage? We would MC.
And...
We would be on the stage one time. Yeah. We'd be out somewhere else just whipping it around to the different mm-hmm. places where everybody would gather. And behind that big stage that one year I met her, she was, I don't know, 17 or 18. Just on the rise.
Taylor?
I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Isn't this nice?
And then did you know later, who she was?
Wow. No, I had no idea who she was at the time.
Yeah.
At the time. And I'll give you one more quick one. Remember Vince Gill? I'm reminded of what Vince Gill used to say. He used to do the concert for Aaron at First Community High School and then Stars for a long time. And he would bring – he wouldn't tell anybody who he was going to bring at these concerts. But he would always end up bringing these amazing people. Some you'd heard of, and some you hadn't. Like, for example, he had Richard Marx one year. Put on a great show with him, just acoustic, you know, playing songs. And one year he brought a guy named Chris Stapleton. Hmm. And nobody had heard of Chris Stapleton at all. But at the end of the night, you're going, holy cow, this guy has got something. And sure enough, you know, now Chris Stapleton is as big as they get.
You think he's made it?
I think he's made it. You know, what Vince used to say all the time, he goes, this is the thing about this town. He goes, you never know. You always treat people well because you never know that you could be coming out of a restaurant one night and the guy who parks your car could be the best guitar player that could just play you under the table, right? There's always that talent that's just looking for the opportunity that they could be doing anything. They'd be waiting tables, parking cars, cleaning floors, you know, whatever it is to have the gig. That's what's great about Nashville.
No doubt about it. I think Chris Stapleton was that who opened up for GNR at Nissan?
Yep.
Chase, when we went?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Sure was. Mm.
Wow. Congratulations to Tiffany Cheney. Tiffany was lucky caller 6, and Tiffany is going to go see the Gin Blossoms at Brooklyn Bowl on March 10th, and she called into 737-STAR-1025. She hit that number. And
Star. Was that the key? Did she hit star?
I think that's what got her in as lucky caller.
Got her through.
It put her to a separate line, and Elijah's like, there's the sixth caller right there. So, Tiffany, thanks for listening. Enjoy that Gin Blossom show. Willie, take us to the break and tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right. Let me tell you about Loan Pronto. It's the new year, and right now you've still got all kinds of great opportunities ahead of you for Loan Pronto because they want to make sure that you know that in the year 2022, they can hook you up and put your finances in great order for the new year. You can get a home equity loan ready for you in a very short period of time. You know the deal. Your home value is way up right now. It's way up. And you've got these interest rates that are very, very low. So what does that mean? Get your finances in order for 2022 by lowering your monthly payment for your mortgage. And if you need some cash, you can take out the home equity loan and get a check. Most loans close within about 14 days. It's an all digital process. Loan Pronto can make it very easy for you. Refinance now, get that APR down, And if you need some cash, home equity loan is available to you. Find out more by calling Loan Pronto right now. Rates are still really low for the new year. Get those finances in order for 2022. Call 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 and find out all of the options that you have in front of you where Loan Pronto can help put your finances in a better order, lowering that mortgage payment. And if you need it, get that home equity loan to put it towards paying off some credit card bills or maybe even refinancing in your home, or sorry, remodeling your home, upgrading to that new kitchen or bathroom that you've always wanted. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1667181, subject to lender approval, not all loans eligible. Darren, I'll give you a great story.
I don't believe that's the song. I don't believe that's the song.
I'll give you an interesting story about Creed that I had no idea of until the pandemic. And Scott Stapp, is that his name? Scott Stapp, the lead singer. He did an interview, and I can't remember where it was. It may have been, who's our guy that we have on? Oh, man. Good Morning Football on NFL Network that we
Kyle
watch
Brandt.
All the time.
Kyle Brandt.
Yes, Kyle Brandt. I think he was doing an interview with Kyle Brandt. So Scott Stapp told a story that he actually took a recruiting visit to Vanderbilt for baseball.
Really?
He was being recruited by Vanderbilt baseball back when I was playing.
Oh, wow.
But I don't remember it at all. So he didn't end up coming, but he was a very good baseball player coming up through high school. Had no idea.
Huh.
I was like I was trying to figure out who of my teammates would have been his host. You know, you have a couple players that show you around when you come on a recruiting trip. So I still haven't figured out who was the guy. Who were the guys?
He could have been a teammate
of yours. 1991. Could have been. But I think he chose the right path, right?
I was going to say, but there probably wouldn't have been Creed.
That's right.
Wow. That's crazy.
Crossroads.
I don't think I've ever heard that he was a baseball player before.
I hadn't either until 1 year ago. Remember that pandemic, man? We heard all kinds of life stories. I'll never forget Mookie Betts telling us that he was ready to leave single-A minor league baseball to come back and play basketball for Lipscomb. Quit the game altogether. Was ready to do it. Thought differently. Stayed after it. And he's become one of the best baseball players in the game, as we know.
I'm sure Diana had something to do with that, would be my guess. Like,
he told the story on these airwaves. It was a great story.
Oh, no, you're not quitting. You're going to stay with it. You stick it out. People haven't fought on Twitter saying Joe Rexroad must be going crazy listening to this Creed talk.
Joe's favorite band.
Joe's favorite band. Also, at Cisco 1409 tweeted at me and says, "DMAC, Tennessee weather is still drunk. Thursday night's Nashville's going to be on a bender." I think the high or the low is going to be like 15 degrees Thursday night.
Yeah.
The high is going to be like 30.
Yeah. About that.
What were you going to say, Chase? I think you were going to read. Were you going to read a text?
Oh, Beef and Beats Johnson, a live look at DMAC trying to open that segment, and it's a great gif.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield, all confused.
Yeah, I keep. I certainly had that moment at what was it? Were we up in Gallatin?
Yeah,
I just
Nissan.
Totally spaced. Man, I've been having that lately. I don't know.
I'm worried about you.
I know. I need to go get a CAT scan or something. I don't know what's going on.
Bill Blur.
Nate on Twitter says, "Every time I watch the Manning cast, I feel like Eli would rather talk to a guest than break down the game with Peyton." What do you guys think? I don't know if I buy that.
It's just I think the reason you may think that is because Peyton's personality takes over, kind of takes over the room. Whereas Eli's much more laid back and
reserved. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just think they're just two different personalities. Peyton is obviously the more dominating personality. I think that's probably going back to our earlier discussion of the talking over, because I think it's hard for Peyton to sit back. Like, he's always ready to jump in there, right? And he talks with his hands too, by the way, like Nick Saban. like little Nicky. He talks with his hands, and so he's ready to jump in there and constantly. And I think it's hard for him. Like Eli doesn't have any problem like sitting back and just, you know, waiting his turn. I think Peyton, it's a little bit more of a struggle because something is always sparking something in his brain to say something, right, in a conversation, so, or a play or whatever. So I think, yeah, that's probably going on. By the way, we knew, I'll never forget when they made this decision. It happened, I think, while we were on the show, and I said, this is just an absolutely awful, awful, and dumb decision. I remember having Bill Hancock on, and I told him how dumb it was to play these games on New Year's Eve. While the ratings here in Nashville were really, really good for the semifinal games on New Year's Eve, I guess nationally, especially the Georgia-Michigan game, I saw Richard Deitch, and he was crediting Austin Karp, Sports Business Journal. I guess the ratings nationally, not so great. Especially for the Georgia-Michigan game, which, of course, is later in the evening on New Year's Eve. I mean,
and it was such a mismatch.
And right, I think that probably the game
it had to have
either.
A huge tune-out factor because it was over at the half. You could tell in the broadcast they were desperate. They kept going to the sideline. You know, Marty Smith that was trying to map out how Michigan could come back after talking to Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, just keep playing and score on that first drive of the second half, and you can work your way back in it. Because I think they could sense that they were going to lose the audience. Anybody that wasn't a Georgia fan or a huge college football fan, the casual fans not staying tuned into that game, especially on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. I just don't understand why they do that. They're just.
Well, I know one reason why. They hide.
Don't do it on New Year's Day. That's fine. Then do it another day. You can't do it on. You know.
I know.
Just pick another day.
Well, you can't
don't
do it Sunday.
Do
You're not going to go up against the NFL.
No. But you can still pick another. But then here's pick the Mondays. If you're going to do the national championship game on Monday, then do the semis on a Monday.
That's true. Like if you did a doubleheader on a Monday night, I think the ratings would be through the roof for that. But my whole thing on New Year's Day is, you know, whatever with the Rose Bowl. Like, just do it away, do it that night.
They won't. They will not do the freaking Rose Bowl, which, you know, it's just, I understand, this year was fun. It was a crazy game. But overall, I mean, we've talked about this. Like, especially if they expand. Like, who's, and I know they'll probably include the Rose Bowl, but like, these games just don't mean the same. They're just not the same. And by the way, you know, we've talked about all this, players opting out, and it makes everything less and less and less important unless it's the games that truly matter. By the way, Kirk Herbstreit made some pretty strong comments about players opting out, and it has not gone over well for him. People have certainly come back after Kirk Herbstreit, you know, with what we've been talking about with players opting out. It's like, yeah, if we're not in the playoffs, then you know what, I'm going to just worry about my career. I mean, Cade Mays did it. Cade Mays did it for Tennessee. He didn't play. And oh, by the way, you know, he's not coming back, so that's fine. But have you seen the latest grades on Cade Mays?
I haven't.
Anybody seen him? No. What he's projected?
Is he like
last time I checked, is not top 10. Not first round. People I've talked to say he's a mid-round guy. Mid-rounds, plural.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, I'd come back, but.
Well, I mean, even if he doesn't come back, like, he made a decision not to play in a bowl game here with his teammates, and he's projected to be mid-rounds? What? Like, that's where we are? Like, it's one thing for at least the guy for Purdue on defense is, like, projected to be top 10. But mid-rounds? Like, you're opting out for that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, but once again, it's like, okay, all these guys, so the Rose Bowl, like, who are you kidding? Like, you're living in the past if you still think your bowl is the significance of your bowl. Like, we don't treat – does anybody look at the Rose Bowl like we did back in the day? I don't. No. I don't.
Nope.
Do players, do coaches, do they still, like, go, oh, you say Rose Bowl, and they go, oh, would love to play in that someday. I mean, there used to be a time. Do you think they still say that?
Not to the extent they used to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so either. All right, we'll come back. Don't forget David Poyle, our weekly chat with him coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll come back with hour number two next.